Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's about that time again on a Wednesday evening at the 8 o'clock hour. Wednesday evening live, it is time for the Kay Thompson Live Show. I am the one that is commonly known as the Sun, and you are?
I'm the host of the show, and I am Kay Thompson, here on Kay Thompson Live. I want to welcome everybody to the show again. Wow, there's so much news today. Of course, the big news, was sad to say, is still Trump. He is so spoiling absolutely everything. He makes me angry. He makes me want to stutter, and he makes me look more than, well, anyway. You can hear it. Anyway, congratulations to Ras Baraka, mayor of Newark. Newark is really on the way. It looks good. The educational system is fine. They're coming on. I'm so proud of Mary Baraka, son of Amiria, and Ras Baraka, rather, son of Amiria and Amina. And, of course, I was a good friend of his sister, his mother, Amina, and his sister. Sandy used to go to the dance studio. You might remember that, Sandy.
Right.
Anyway, she's a very good friend. Anyway, it's great to see anybody, to have you call everybody, you know, or talk to everybody. I'm getting ready for a trip. I'm getting ready to go and packing and all that sort of thing.
Okay, great. All right, and let's also say hello to one of our co-hosts, the one and only Byron Saunders. Hey, Byron, how you doing this evening?
Oh, my good friends, I'm fighting off a cold. Too much activity, too much springtime, I guess. But I'm still alive and kicking.
Yeah, it kind of snuck up on everybody the way this weather is. Seems that we do not have a spring or a fall anymore. We just jump right into summer and winter. It's kind of crazy.
That's right.
And the people who want to talk about no such thing as global warming, I don't know why that they think that is, but, apparently they have a problem with a lot of stuff seems to be right in the world. Obviously, you know, the big news is, well, there's a lot of big news, but I put on here Kanye West, Trump's ex-doctor, who will be burned next? Who else will be burned by the Donald? Who else gets burned by his shadow being involved with even his chief of staff? I didn't get to put the chief of staff, Kelly's name up here, who looks like he might not have his job for too much longer. But I don't know where to start. You know, I saw the tail end of this video of Kanye getting read by the brother from TMZ. The brother setting him straight. But, I don't know about you, Byron, but to me, Kanye West has not been right since his mom passed away. That was his foundation. That was his rock. And if you were fortunate, I've seen an interview with Kanye West when he kind of earlier in his career, when he started getting recognition as an artist. And, it was when his mother was still alive and he seemed to be, you could tell he was a genius, and he also seemed to be a lot more grounded and balanced and obviously once his mother, I don't know about anybody else in his family, if there's any other support base in his family, but once his mom, and obviously it had been just him and his mom for a long time, once his mom passed, unfortunately, he was open to being influenced by a lot of the wrong and bad things. And it's unfortunate, you know, I mean, it's just indicative of some of the behavior the years ago when he ran on stage, when the girl Taylor Swift was getting her award, and he ran up there and said Beyonce should have the award. You know, just a lot of crazy, bizarre, self-indulgent behavior. And it's unfortunate that he has to put his feet and get caught up in the middle of Trump's world and being a part of Trump and saying just idiotic, stupid stuff. But, he had to learn some kind of way. And to say from that very vantage point that he was trying to make points from, particularly, you know, being in the crazy mess that he's in from his own social, his own personal world, you know, it's just really bizarre. You wanted to say, Mark?
Yeah. I never could really figure him out. You know, I thought he was strange in the first place. And wrote him off, especially when, excuse me, still hanging onto the call, especially when I was on WLIBBLS over there in New York. I never really got to him, you know, understood what he was all about at all. And so I canceled him out. He just didn't exist. He became famous because of the girls.
No.
Wait. You know, and when I became known, when I found out about Kanye, it was in connection with the Kardashians. And the Kardashians was famous because of their father represented, what's the name, for the case. So I don't even know anything about Kanye.
Right.
He was, and I know he's involved with music at one time, but I forgot him all about that.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't really know that much about him. He's, you know, part of a different generation in terms of musically. He was not famous. He's a young guy, so he's part of.
But it wasn't that big of a loss, you know, Brent Day.
Yeah. Well,
when we were on WLIB.
He was a child then. So I mean, he's a new artist, man. He's part of the younger generation. So.
Sure, he was, but it's still on, it's still news, and we were meeting the news.
Understood.
You know?
He's just a little bit newer than that. He's been around for the last
20 years. Thank you for your information.
So, Kanye, as I said, you know, even before his involvement in the Kardashians, but I do agree with you about his kind of seeming like being a lot stranger once he got involved with them. What are your observations about that there, Byron?
I think. One thing that stands out is when we don't know our history and it's not being taught to us, our ancestral mm-hmm. history, we become disconnected to reality. We feel as if only it's happening at this moment. And in context, yes, it is happening at the very moment that he is engaged in. But I think Wendell Pierce wrote a very good response to Kanye in suggesting, for instance, here's one piece. You glorify those that murdered our mothers and fathers, raped our women, and swelled our numbers with bastards. You, Kanye West, embrace those who inhumanely experimented on our bodies to watch the ravage of death for decades in Tuskegee. So if you understand, as Wendell is eloquently saying, Kanye is a wordsmith. If you understand what has happened to 400 years of our being here, then you could not possibly stand up and make reference to something that you literally are clueless about because you don't know the history.
Of course, and that is the problem. That is the problem.
Yes,
he is uninformed about African American history, about Black history. And I've always felt that, who is he? What is he? You know?
Yeah.
So they're an example of it. He doesn't understand history. He doesn't understand anything about Africa, from where we come from, you know?
Let's bring in our other co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman here. Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
All right. Good evening, everyone. How you doing?
My brother. All is well.
Yeah, that's good. All is not well if it's Kanye West, you know. There's obviously something going on there, you know. I was listening to your reaction. We cannot afford to have people like that in our community. I know that we're not a monolith. I know that we have so many different schools of thought, but it's just shameful that we have people like that still who think that way. And the lifestyle is so, you know, confusing. I just don't get it. I really don't. You know, I hadn't paid much attention to it because there's so much going on. But I did. I think MSNBC or CNN had a couple of rappers on this afternoon commenting on that very issue. You know, it just saddens me that we've been, you know, reduced to that now with all this going on, you know, in our world. And it's shameful.
He's an entertainer who has no information and doesn't understand his history, his African history. Okay. And I don't know what schools he went to. I don't know who informed him or didn't inform him, but you know, it's strange that he would say something like that.
Right.
He just said he should go see the Black Panther's movie. Okay.
He's a very young guy, and
he's
a very young guy, and like I said, he's part of a generation, unfortunately, that I think that and he has an influence. He's not he's not the newest, not that young, but enough to influence this
mm-hmm.
hip hop generation, this new hip hop generation that all of us on this line right here are old too. So,
and he's
lack
narcissistic.
Right, and there's a lack of understanding
yeah.
from that age group. There's a lack of understanding, I think, or a lack of importance being placed on the history of African Americans. Just expecting that a lot of these kids, Kanye, are a lot younger, just expecting that they're going to know about African American history and the sacrifices that were made by a lot of people that came before them, cannot be the given anymore. Take into account that a lot of them might be raised by parents who are ignorant to that fact themselves. So I'm not saying about Kanye, because his mother was a teacher, from what I understand, if I remember correctly. And like I said, once his mom passed, I think the trappings of fame and fortune and that whole lure kind of just led him astray. He seemed to kind of go kind of slowly further and further off of the deep end, in my essence. But there it is, and you said it best, Wayne. It's unfortunate that we have to talk about that, because that's really kind of a distraction to a certain degree of what's really important. You know, because what's really important to me is doggone it, them raiding Trump's doctor's, ex-doctor's
yeah.
office, and that he felt so that he felt so very violated that they took his record. Because he was telling people about the prescription that Trump was taking. Listen, you can't make this comedy show up. I mean, you know, if you think about the White House doctor, Dr. Candyman or whatever, that's giving out the pills and stuff. It's just a never-ending circus with this guy. I'm sorry, you were
saying. And it just goes on and on. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, there's not one day that the news cycle is not dominated by this guy's buffoonery. And you know, you look at the Mueller investigation, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, you know, and things that they readily get upset about. You know, it just seems to take up too much space. And unfortunately, because there's such chaos, and we've been living with it for a year now, that a lot of us are walking around and just assuming this is standard fare, and it's not. You know, it just baffles me that he's managed to survive and come this far. What bothers me, and I said this the week before, that there's a growing sentiment now. I noticed that slightly his poll numbers are coming up. And I just wonder whether or not if impeachment is going to be enough. Because I speculate there's enough damaging goods out there to nail this guy. But I also think he has succeeded in polarizing the country, you know, and at such a great length that I fear that we're going to be in for some sort of race war, a civil war, you know, if for some reason he's found guilty and there's a call for him to be removed.
You know, and I think that's going to be happening because he is not right. There is something wrong with this man. He has told lie after lie after lie, and he's telling people that he knows to lie for him. Now, if that's not an unhealthy situation for this country, I don't know what is. It's pathetic. And something has got to be done about it. And the American people in certain areas can't be that uninformed or that naive about this person sitting in the White House, sitting in the United States of America, the most powerful station, you know, the most powerful station, the most powerful country in the entire world. And here we are with this president. It's so difficult to understand. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is kind of pretty bizarre. And like you said, Wayne, I agree I don't know about some kind of race war, but I could see that, you know.
Yeah.
I could see this guy saying, I'm refusing to go, and I need you to come and help me stay in. All my
exactly.
To, you know, I mean, I wouldn't put it past this individual to attempt to bring the country further, even closer to bringing it to his knees than more than he's already attempted to do. I mean, you know, clearly serving his own purposes. You know, people don't realize, you know, when a lawyer recuses themselves, that means they have a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. So Jeff Sessions recusing himself from the whole Russia investigation means that he at least admits, probably quite begrudgingly, that's an indication that he's admitting that he has a conflict of interest. Because when they do that, that means that conflict of interest could potentially get them disbarred or go to jail. So here's a guy, here's a president that thinks it's okay to be mad. I'm sorry, I'm having a little technical difficulty. But here's a guy who's president that thinks it's okay to ask people to risk going to jail for him. Just like with the guy Michael Cohen, if you listen to the president from Fox and Friends just Thursday morning, when he was talking about he doesn't know, and Michael Cohen represents him in this Stormy Daniels thing. And if you listen to this guy, he's so completely full of it. And it just tells you that people who support him like they do are willing, they don't care. I mean, they're part of that kind of criminal, to me, organized conspiracy mentality to go along with that. I mean, this guy gets proven to be a liar like on a daily basis, like hourly, you know, but to continue to go along with that and support that is unbelievable. You know, even when you talk about
what is it about the American people, some people in America, who just can't get it? This man has been dealing with Russia. He has been building what? Building something similar to Trump Tower in Russia.
Right, business dealings
with
Russia.
Good Lord. What more do you need?
Yeah.
You know? So this is the American people only have themselves to blame. So,
well, and we have to take a certain amount of responsibility for that too, Kay, not to cut you off, because I also feel, not to get back on the Kanye business, but there's so many people walking around who felt that, you know, let's give this man a chance. I mean, that no one is looking at his history and how diabolical he and his father were. I mean, when they were running real estate here in New York, the Central Park jogger case. I mean, there's so many things that we could look at, but the thing is that when you see his behavior, he is unhinged. The slightest little criticism, he can't take. He has a thin skin.
Yeah.
And that's what really I find so repulsive. And then he gets the support of people like Rudy Giuliani, Steve Bannon, Hannity, who turns out to be one of the biggest slumlords in the freaking country.
Yep.
I mean, thank had it not been for Michael Cohen's expulsion and the removal of all the documents from his office, we wouldn't have known about Sean Hannity. And he and his cut buddy, Uncle Tom, running HUD, Ben Carson. I mean, it's that kind of behavior that just, you know, I find that is so decadent and it's insulting, you know. It you look at him, you look at Bill Cosby, you look at, you know, there for every generation has been like a little Kanye going back into time, you know. So we
yeah,
have to take a certain amount of ownership too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bill Cosby, yeah, unfortunately, but we're talking about politics, so, you know, that's let's leave that criminal behavior out of it. I mean, you start throwing that in, that's exactly what the other side
no,
does.
No, but I'm talking about the Bill Cosby before this exposure of him being such a, what I think is, you know, a racist, would go around college campuses promoting his honorary degrees and talking about what black people need to do. And so many people were buying into that nonsense. And look at him.
Yeah, I think
look
that's
at him.
I don't think that's something that's germane to this particular discussion when we're talking about Trump, Kanye. I don't think cause that whole concept, to me personally, is germane particularly to what we're talking about, Trump and all that. I agree with you that the cause situation scenario is something separate, but it can be debated about his kind of attempts to see people. But like I said, to me, that's apples and oranges. We're talking about here about the politics and Trump and all of the craziness. So I understand Cause did what he did. It's just that I hear that being done on the major networks, the way they like to throw everything in and lump the bad things about every – it's like saying everything black is lumped into this despicable actions of Trump and the negative things. And that particular – that's something that's, in my assessment, I don't know, is something separate from the argument. I don't know how you feel about that, Byron, if my assessment is making sense. But I kind of think that's apples and oranges, although I do agree with where you were going with that, Wayne. I think it's two separate discussions. Let's go to Yvonne Garrett Moore, who is a resident of Newark, New Jersey, the South Ward, a former dance studio student at Thompson Dance Studio that used to go to the dance studio that my mom and aunt had for a long time. She's got a program where she's trying to bring or push the Come Alive again back in the South Ward of Newark to try and have an environment like you guys did back in the day with Thompson Dance Studio, affording young women the opportunity to learn about dance and things like that. Let's get to her on for a little bit. Yvonne, is that you?
Yes, thank you. Hi, how are you? How's everyone?
Hi, Yvonne.
Great, great. And more importantly, a wonderful heroine and teacher, role model, champion, Kay Thompson Payne. I'm just honored to be able to be a part of this discussion tonight. And so thanks for recognizing the efforts that are going on in the South Ward. Just to highlight.
Wait a minute. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great.
Time.
Fine, thank you. Thanks to you and the great example you set before so many young people in our community. We're doing great. We're still striving for that level of excellence that you instilled in us. I'm now mother and grandmother now, so we're just trying to keep the home fires burning and make sure that we focus on the issues that and the needs that we have and make sure that we're setting an example not only for our family but for our community. And we
Absolutely.
Have that job to do, particularly in the South Ward of Newark.
So what's going on there, Yvonne? Tell me.
Well,
what's going on?
Our greatness outweighs our problems. Unfortunately, when you don't address the problems, they can become your issues, right? So that's what we're trying to address. It's about shifting the mindset and the culture, the current culture, and that's happening. There's a lot of people in the South Ward that are amazingly wonderful, incredibly capable people. Unfortunately, the negative issues of crime and drugs and disparities of lack of educational opportunities and jobs, overshadow a lot of,
yeah.
of the great things that we do have. So we're trying to bring balance and address those disparities. The highest crime rate in our nation, three of the highest crime areas in our state, this is one of them, the Clinton Hill community of Newark, which is one of the most historic, significant communities, in our country. However, the disparities are real. We have a lot of breakdown in the family structure. We have a lot of children who haven't had the opportunity to be nurtured and the community come around them and affirm their capabilities, their artistic and gifted areas like you did, Kay. I mean, you did an extraordinary job by saying we're going to institutionalize who we are, what we're capable of, and we've got to go back to that well and establish that commitment to the community. Right now we don't have one exhibit space, one dance studio, who's teaching piano, who's, addressing fine arts. We don't have that in the South Ward. It's unconscionable. There's no place to go to look at our history and contributions that have been made by many of the greats in our contemporary period, not even to mention, of our century. And so we have work to do to continue to affirm who we are and to raise the standard of our values on education, on jobs, on developing our future. So we have work, a lot of work to do.
What,
and we're chipping away at it, though.
Okay. What, and the program that you were talking about, you had a proposal, and what is that you're trying to achieve?
So that's kind of like the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. I don't know if some of you may be familiar with the historic 505 Clinton Avenue building that sat for at least two decades in the most horrific blighted condition. And, you know, we continue to go to City Hall and saying we've got to do something about it because the blight is impacting us as homeowners. It's impacting the quality of life, our mindsets, and just, you know what blight does. It just depresses you. It's an oppressive environment. So anyway, we lobbied with the city and kept asking, you know, we've got to do something with this this huge structure on Clinton Avenue. And, you know, Mayor Baraka, I took him by the hand. This was before he became mayor, and I walked him down the street and I said, "Mayor, we've got to do something about this." And he did. He got his Community Economic Development Corporation folks to come together and to develop a plan. And the plan now is to redevelop this blighted condition into a cultural art residential facility called the Nina Simone House. So it'll be dedicated to the artistic excellence of Nina Simone and her contribution, as well as give artists a residential location, as well as a art and education performance space. So we're very excited about, you know, that plan. That's going to help to anchor Clinton Avenue in its redevelopment initiative and create this artist corridor that the city and the community are hoping to develop. There is currently a new amphitheater that has been developed, a community park and amphitheater along Clinton Avenue corridor to continue to support the theme of art in the community. So,
in that area in South Ward, that was really beginning to be quite an artistic area because, as you know, Mary Baraka, you know, didn't at one time live too far from there. Not at all. That was off of Clinton Avenue. And I'm so glad to hear that this project is going on. Nina Simone, as everybody probably knows, those people who are involved with good music and the jazz and the blues, was a singer that she was very politically involved. And whenever she performed there down at the Symphony Hall, the place was a sellout. I remember her music, Mississippi Goddamn. And she lived here in Jersey. At one time, I think she resided here in, well, where we are here, outside of the, you know, Montclair, New Jersey area. So, wow. I'm so glad.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your willingness to help continue to speak into our lives and help guide us, you know, in this process, because we want to make sure that we're honoring those who have certainly paved the way, and we're building on your shoulders. You know, we truly are. And
right.
So,
Wayne, Byron, I'm sure you guys have some questions as well that you wanted to jump in, particularly Byron being a theater person.
Oh, yes, and a dance person, too. I love to dance. I remember taking dance classes way early. But Yvonne, tell us where the location and how does one get in contact with this, helping to keep supporting and sustaining what you're doing.
Oh, well, it is located right on the corner of Chadwick and Clinton Avenue. So it's just a block up from Bergen Street. It's right in the heart of the Clinton Hill community. The Newark Community Economic Development Corporation is the lead developer for the project. I represent the Clinton Hill Concerned Citizens, a resident group that have come together to try to address quality of life issues. And so we have put in the proposal for the management of the art component of the resident facility. And so we're working to cultivate that and to establish it. But whether we get the proposal or not, the initiative is going to go forward and someone is going to manage the project. We just felt that we needed to go back to our well of artistic capability within our community. A lot of times when development happens, the community, you know, learns about it when the project gets done. And so, you know, we have worked to cultivate relations with Newark Community Economic Development Corporation and say, you know, we have a well of contributions and artistic capability that individuals like Kay and others, the Baracas, and we want to go back to that well and draw from, you know, the legacy and the history that we have within our own community. We need to affirm who we are as a community people, and we believe that that facility can help to affirm, you know, the greatness that lies within our own experience, our own lives.
Yvonne, Wayne Gilman here. I don't mean to cut you off. I was just curious if, you know, has there been any obstacles in terms of generating government funding for this project, or are you dependent on that, or are you just working independently on your own?
Well, at this point, the city is committed to build the initiative, right? Right now, the facility has been completely gutted. They have maintained the facade because it's magnificent. The historical architectural significance of the facade is beautiful. It's a huge structure with large columns. It's very imposing. But they've gutted the whole back of it, and they're going to just redevelop the back of the facility, which has already been funded. Funds have been identified through Newark and Newark Economic Community Economic Development Corporation. And then the next stage would be the management component of the art and education component. And there will also be a cafe there. So there's opportunity
wow.
for the community to grow economically as well as socially, as well as artistically. We hope to get some resident artists that are very experienced, even though there will be 26 units, 1- and 2-bedroom apartments. But in addition to that, we want to make sure that we have resident experts in
yeah.
the various disciplines.
Very good.
I'm glad to be very, very involved in that. I think I'm going to try to get in touch with the Rest Baraka tomorrow. And also, her sister, Sandy, was a dancer. She was very much involved in the cultural arts, her mother's thing. You know, so we will really have a stake in the South Ward. And I'm so glad to hear somebody saying that they're, you know, really very involved. I have not been keeping up with it. But give me a ring and let me be involved because I'm very interested in it and concerned about it.
All right. There it is. Yvonne Garrett Moore, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome, and thank you for taking the time. Okay. Enjoy your evening. We look forward to the grand opening and sharing more in the future.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's an honor.
We're certainly going to be checking that out and staying aware of the progress of that, because the arts is certainly we need to promote that in the community, certainly in that area where it started things off with Thompson Dance Studio. I remember that area of town at that time when we were young being a lot more vibrant than it is now. And, you know, a lot of the things about development across the inner cities, across the United States, I keep saying this, is that we want the people that have been living in these communities for all these times, the caretakers of the communities that have been left for dead and left for to fend for themselves for all those years and for now. And now we find, and I'm sure you certainly know about this, Wayne, as a home, a property owner, we find that these areas become valuable again, the minority people have been holding down, so to speak. And now, you know, everybody wants to live in the urban centers again, and everybody's moving back in, and all of this gentrification and development is happening. And the people who have been in the community for all those years, a lot of times they don't get an opportunity to reap the benefits of that.
I happen to agree. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's something that I talk about all the time. You know, I look at what goes on in Brooklyn. That's basically been my one greatest example, because I remember when it was the largest concentration of black folk in this country. And to see what it's like now, you know, I'm not saying that people don't have a right to move in and redevelop, but I think there's also an arrogance with some of the people who have moved in Some progressive people understand the history and they're willing to respect that, but there are others who feel, well, okay, it's our time now, and that's it, you know. And unfortunately, many of the caretakers, the custodians who've kept the properties up and couldn't get, you know, insurance funding and coverage because of redlining and all those other issues, you know, we're dying out now. I mean, and many are just forced to leave because they can't restore these precious buildings, and it's just one of those things. So, you know, what I think Yvonne is doing, and certainly I don't know Clinton Hill that well, but I have a feeling I gather it's near the center of Newark, in that area where Rutgers University, I believe, and the high school.
Yeah, no,
if I'm
not
mistaken.
Really, that's not where it is, but it is a part of one of the wards of Newark. Clinton Hill certainly is a district where it's with a business district at one time, a thriving business district, and long time ago, my mother said all Jewish area, as was a large part of Newark, was, you know, a lot of Jewish folks lived in. I'm talking about the 60s, early 60s, late 50s,
mm-hmm.
that you were referencing,
yeah.
Mom. But even after that, you know, around the time in the early 70s, late 60s, you know, that whole area of Newark was pretty thriving to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not the blight that you would see if you would ride through there now. So that's that one section of the South Ward, which is Clinton Hill. There's several different wards in Newark, and within each ward, there probably is their center area, which is the thriving central area of that. So that's what Clinton Hill kind of was in the South Ward. So
right.
So, but I mean, certainly what you're saying, Wayne, is obviously you guys have been saying it for years. That's why I wanted you to speak on that, because it's 100% right. Certainly I've noticed it within the last, you know, move to California, move back, and you could see it happening even more extensively in that time. And you said it, I mean, you know, you hit it on a nutshell. You run it down talking about people who kept these homes up and tried to barely hold on to these homes, their homes, and the redlining to drive down the value of these homes, and now they become ripe for these people to come in and buy them out from underneath the people
right.
who've been keeping and holding down the community for all these years. It's horrible. You know, I'm reminded of the Netflix series She's Got a Habit, based on Spike Lee's movie all those many years ago.
Yeah,
that I fortunately had an opportunity to be a part of that movie history. I'm going to give myself my own plug. But in the series, in the She's Got a Habit series on Netflix, that's one of the issues that they deal with, the gentrification that's taking place in Brooklyn, even more to the extent that from the time you were talking about, right, Wayne? I mean, you were noticing.
Well,
I
agree. I mean, ironically, where Spike lived in Brooklyn, I'm assuming he still has a presence there, is not far from Clinton Hill, Brooklyn, and which I'm most familiar with.
Right.
And the deal is that I guess, you know, it's not just about Brooklyn. It's not just Newark. This phenomenon is going across the country, man. A lot of these urban centers are ripe for restoration, and unfortunately, the opportunities for people like us to just have a stake in it just seems to be very difficult. And with this current administration, it's going to be even harder, you know. Already there's been a drop in values in New York because of all the changes this man has done. So I would like to think that at least the efforts of what this young lady is trying to do, and there's a need. I mean, we need to preserve our culture. We need to educate. And I know I sounded like I'm suffering from a toothache here, and that's probably what's bringing up my anger about Bill Cosby and people like Kanye West, not to go back to that. But I just think it's important that we preserve our culture. Certainly your mother needs a statue. We have a statue of I can't think of the jazz singer's name at the top of my head, but she's from Yonkers, New York, and I can see a picture of your mother as a statue, with, you know, dedicated somewhere in Newark, you know, perhaps where the very K. Thompson Payne studios were, you know.
Right.
Because I think that's important. History is very important.
I think,
and, And we have a tendency to minimize our importance while we're here.
Right. This is true. This is true. I certainly think there should be some sort of plaque or something over there where they had Thompson Dance Studio, because it was a place where young women, my mom and aunt, grandparents that worked at the nursery school where they had there for people, that was a place to give young women culture,
yeah,
and to teach young women of the day culture and give them some kind of class. And that was always, to me, the epitome of a well-rounded young woman who had culture and was able to carry themselves. Not only did they learn how to dance, but they also received a kind of an impromptu, an informal lesson of how to carry themselves as young women.
Exactly.
From my aunt, my father, and
that
aunt.
That doesn't exist anymore. You don't hear about that anymore.
Yeah, but you know one thing, our place was quite a cultural center. We had some known dancers there. We had Arthur Mitchell, you know, with the American Ballet Company, who was the first black ballet dancer who was appeared in the American Ballet Company on Broadway. He was there. Carl Shook, Carl Shook, you know, who was with the Ballet Company. Also, Thelma Hill, Donald Moore.
These are obviously names people in the dance world would know. A lot of these names,
yeah,
that you're mentioning,
mm-hmm,
these are historical figures in the dance world. But certainly, you know, I'm thinking about the two aspects of the gentrification area, and you topped on the Cosby thing, but I know that I wanted to say that the whole arts thing and the gentrification thing certainly is prevalent in some place like Washington, D.C., which is your hometown, right, Byron? And
you
still with us?
One of the things that, yeah, I'm still here. One of the things that I think Ms. Moore should investigate and highly encourage is that as the community is redeveloping economically with the growth and restoration development corporation of the community, every time a new business or an old business comes into that community, that when they apply for small business loans and are awarded contractually, it is still on the books in every city across this country that a set-aside program where subcontracting women and minority-owned businesses. And obviously, this arts group is a woman and minority-owned business for which the city is pouring funds into, but a small percentage of every contract given should be a kickback to help in restoration of the arts and support of community investment of the arts. And it's only asking for, like, so that it can keep regenerating. Institutional development is so critical when we are restoring our communities these days.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, Byron, because I'm reminded of the Starbucks controversy,
yeah,
down in Philly the other day. Those two brothers,
yeah,
did a commendable, laudable effort by just accepting a dollar each for their pain and suffering and discomfort, but demanded that $200,000 be set aside so,
mm-hmm,
that there would be some sort of community development so people,
mm-hmm,
will have an opportunity to create their own Starbucks and other places like that to just familiarize people of color with business, the whole phenomenon of business. And
one of the things that we're really failing as a nation is that as we give corporations tax incentives to move into our communities, the one thing that is failing to be recognized is that you're putting the onus of the upkeep of the community on the community itself, as opposed,
right,
to the tax break that you're giving to a corporation. Now, how many Starbucks are going to move into that community? How many others, you know, good businesses? Not saying that they're not good, but if they're going to move into the community, they cannot continue to be giving away the tax benefits to the corporations and then putting the onus on the citizens who have stayed there. It's not
exactly
fair. It's really illegal what they're doing, and of course then gentrification is a result of that, because then the community that's been there for years cannot sustain it because the tax base keeps growing upward.
Right, and that's how they systematically get that community out of there.
Exactly.
That's that old game plan that they're doing, you know, and so you're 100% right about the abasements, the tax breaks, all that stuff. You know, I can say this now that, you know, my cousin was on the city council in Newark when my uncle was still alive, way before he got my uncle passed. My cousin was talking about he was talking about the Prudential Center going mm-hmm. up, the Prudential yeah. Arena going up. And
right.
in order to do that, they had to give the corporation some tax breaks. But, well, they wanted them to make good on some of the breaks that they gave. You know, it was supposed to pay a certain amount by a certain time, give them a break. And he had mentioned to me, you know, that, you know, it was an issue for them going back and forth to make sure a lot of these corporations live up to their promise, their end of the promises to pay that. Now, I'm not saying that the Prue, that the Rock didn't, but what I am saying is that I remember the discussion being, one second, please. I remember the discussion being that they had to make sure that, you know, they were just concerned that they weren't giving too many tax breaks to these corporations and to these, as they come to revitalize and build these places across in the city to help bring back the city. Let's not give away the financial base of the city so that, you know, can have some taxes basically after that. Okay. But, right. Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you. Thank you. So, I mean, that's really a big, big problem that is a problem across the country in terms of giving away the tax base in a lot of these communities.
And that, yes, I wanted to say that the person that you're referring to is Congressman Donald Payne.
Right, yeah.
And I'm talking about Donald Payne Sr., who, of course, passed.
Yeah, I'm talking
he
about.
He was one of the most important person.
I'm talking about Don Payne Jr.
I know, yeah.
Who was the
so
councilman. Yeah, Don Payne
yeah.
Jr. is what I'm referring
He's
to.
He's continuing,
who was,
you know.
Was the councilman. And this is mm-hmm. when before my cousin, who is currently the congressman, was the councilman. But moving on. That's really something that is unfortunate. Also, when you were talked about Cosby and you know, kind of the culture, you know, it's unfortunate, I believe, that you know, he turned out to be the individual that he turned out to be. Obviously,
yeah,
getting to that place, doing some of that despicable stuff is really you know, it's not only disappointing. It's like just like you did what. But also from a cultural standpoint, I mean, he's a cultural icon, and the image that he presented for the black community was a positive one and a cultural icon to our community, and that's the angst and the disappointment and the shock that everybody sees experiences with a lot of people who grew up on this guy, myself being one of them, you know, is that the place he held in our minds, the fictional place he held, because clearly he wasn't the individual that he presented himself to be to the world, but is that place that he held in our minds because of where of his standing within our culture from an entertainment, arts and entertainment standpoint, and then trying to take that success and develop it and promote education within black people and try to do a little social work within the community. So that's why it's so hard. Even the young woman who was very eloquent, Lily Bernard, who spoke about, you know, looking at the young juror who she knew was a young black man who could be her son's age and saw his angst about, you know, this icon having to make this decision. And I remember, actually, to be quite honest, Lily Bernard, when she was a young actress in New York when we were all doing that and the Cosby Show was on. I remember her being on the Cosby Show and just trying to be an actress around and never obviously knew that she was one of the victims of this, but, you know, she hit it on the head when, she, you know, saying, you know, this guy did some monstrous stuff, but still, you know, the place he held in everybody's heart for so long, for those who didn't know the truth, you know, it's a hard place to be. So culturally, from a cultural standpoint, you know, that's the conundrum that we find ourselves in. I don't know. I'm going to ask the other admitted artists on the panel. Byron, what do you think about that?
Well, losing an icon to this kind of crime, and it's a crime, let's face it, let's be honest, you know, drugging and unconsensual sex, I guess, you know, guilty of charge. But you know what I really think about is on the same day that he was convicted was the same day that the museum in Montgomery, Alabama opened, the lynching museum. And as we know the symbols of all the lynchings, it always started with usually a rape of a white woman, okay? And then we had those pictures of all the of Americans, you know, making it a picnic. Let's go to the town square. We got a lynching, okay? We go see a new lynching, and then they would put them on postcards and sell them to their friends and neighbors. But here's where we really need to make sure we really understand and comprehend that let's not make Bill Cosby the poster child for all that is wrong with men of power who have abused and continue to abuse their power and privilege. You see, America needs to identify Thomas Jefferson, one of the nation's founding fathers, for what he really was, and stop identifying Sally Hemings as his mistress. You see, it's insulting, and it's an outright fabrication, making it seem as if Sally Hemings was a willing and consensual partner. Do you know that Sally Hemings was involved in sex slave trafficking and was a slave to Thomas Jefferson's father-in-law who was having sex with her, and then he passed her on to Thomas Jefferson? That's the facts. And her life must be identified first and foremost, period. Now, was Thomas Jefferson raped and abused this African-American slave woman? And it's time to set the record straight and the history straight. Because we cannot just use Bill Cosby as the poster child. What about Hugh Hefner? What about Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein, Charlie Sheen? You know, he's not the only one that has been guilty of this particular abuse. But we've got to clean the record up and stop using black men as your symbol of justice when you're the ones who have committed the injustice from the time that we were brought over here as slaves 400 years to this day period. It's another lynching, character assassination.
I happen to agree with you, but I never wanted to give the impression that I was just distinguishing Cosby from the others. Right. I mean, there is a
That's the only point I was making, Wayne. I wanted to make that, as Byron made the point really well. That's the only point I wanted to make, was let's not make him the poster child for that. And I know you weren't. Just go ahead and finish your point. I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, I appreciate saying and the spirit in which you said. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, there's no question that this man has a problem. All of them have a problem, you know, but history stands for itself. You're absolutely right. You know, this lady was not just someone that Thomas Jefferson slept with. You know, she was part of this horrible history in American culture. I mean, it's just one of those things. The reason why we are so divided, and the impact of that level of miscegenation back then, you know, has led to some of the problems that we have now, you know. And, I mean, in many instances, if you look at the big picture. But I also feel at the same time that, you know, we as a people have always had to answer to a higher authority. The nonsense that a Donald Trump gets away with today, a Barack Obama could not have done in the last 8 years during the course of presidency. They would have assassinated him, God forbid, you know, had that happened then. You know, I mean, the whole campaign of fake news and the decadent stuff that we're going through right now, it just seems unfathomable that this is what we're preoccupied with this sophomoric behavior compared to, you know, a stainless record for 8 years. God forbid we should find something, you know, untoward Barack in the last 8 years, you know. I'm not saying that he was a saint, but, you know, the bottom line is we all have a certain standard that we have to keep, and it's just unfortunate when we fall behind that.
Certainly a level for president, but I want to take a turn here in just these last couple of minutes to talk about. We had, I don't know, somebody's washing dishes. I can hear that. I hope those dishes are taking a bath, one of the two. We had
well, if they're taking a bath, I need to see.
Yeah, we had a discussion that we went to on Sunday here with the executive producer and creator, Teo Coker, of Luke Cage, here at the Montclair Public Library. We had him and another executive producer from the show, along with two actors from the show, that had a little discussion talking about Luke Cage and the Marvel world, and a lot of the fans of the comic were there, and it was really a good discussion to hear him talk about the show and what's happening in terms of black superheroes and the comic book world. And one of the interesting things, the discussion became about Wakanda and Black Panther and the show Black Lightning, which is another TV show that features black superheroes. It was a thing whether, what do you think of Black Lightning and this and that? And he said, well, I think there's room, you know, there's room for everybody. He didn't look at it as a competitive thing. The idea was, do you think it's competitive, good, bad, whatever? He said, you know, just like you have many different shows featuring white storylines that don't cancel each other out, the more the better. And it's showing that you have a lot of these storylines now in film and TV that are featuring lead actors and lead characters in these stories of color. It's making something, you know, it's showing that's more approved now. A lot more people will be following, are willing to follow shows with lead actors of color now and storylines with lead actors of color. And he said something, used a phrase, I believe, okay, we can hear you. All that stuff, I don't know the background noise, but it sounds a little freaky over there, guys. I don't know which one of you guys are doing that. But
my apologies.
So he used a phrase that I thought was really good. He said, you know, these are things that we want to are inclusively black. You know, these are storylines and plot lines that are inclusively black, meaning that it's not just for black people, but those who might like the story, might like to follow the characters that just happen. The world of black culture, it's inclusively black. So it was really something good. Obviously, I've talked up all that last couple of minutes. We have 90 seconds left. I want to say thanks to everybody for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show. We're here every Wednesday, live 8 to 9 p.m., and also our show is archived. It was nice to hear from Yvonne Garrett Moore and see what they're doing in the South Ward in terms of bringing arts back. I want to say thank you to our co-host, legendary historian over there eating his Cheerios or taking a bath or whatever, Byron Stone.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep my cold under control. But thank you, guys. A great show, Kay and Eric and Wayne. Good to be on.
All right. Feel better, my brother.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. And yes. Legendary newsman, Mr. Wayne Gilman.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
An honor.
And I didn't mean to register my angst, but I attribute it to my toothache. So.
Well, we know that any points that you bring up are ones that are thoughtful points for discussion. So we know whenever you are giving your opinion on it, it's always one that's thought it out and one that we need to hear. So thank you, sir.
Okay.
I want to say that. All right. Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm the son, and you are a lady.
I am Kay Thompson. Join us every Wednesday, 8 to 9, on Kay Thompson Live on the Internet.
Okay, that's good enough.